Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Over how many people were at the protest the other day? I did see one piece by somebody suggesting that the guy who calculated the figure for the water protest, which was, I don't know, 100,000 people or something like that, the same guy who uses, I don't know if it's technology, he takes a photograph, measures, counts the amount of people wide by the amount of people deep in a certain space, and then multiplies that by the amount of spaces, so to speak, that he calculated it was over 100,000. I looked at it and there wasn't over 100,000 or anywhere close to that. I wouldn't imagine. I did hear the organisers saying there was somewhere between 30 and 50,000, I think. That's a bit more believable. I don't know, to be honest. It's hard to tell. Because somebody said to me today, how many people are in Hill 16 at a full match? And I'm kind of looking at Hill 16 and I went, I couldn't tell you. But I Googled it then, there were 16,000. So that gives you, and if I look at Hill 16 full, and I look at the length of O'Connell Street, and there was more right up to the Garden of Remembrance and around the corner towards the Customs House Quay, it was kind of all full. But there was spaces in between because they were walking, obviously. So it's kind of hard to tell. They wouldn't be like Hill 16 where they'd be crammed up against each other. So it's hard to tell, really. I'll throw my guess in, and I'll say probably 30,000. That would be fair. That's in the middle somewhere, isn't it? But that's kind of fair to everybody. The counter-protest, I wouldn't say there was any more than 1,600 people, maybe 2,000, I don't know. But they seemed to be all, they had all different types of flags. It was transgender rights flags, Palestine flags. They were kind of, I don't know what they were there for. Okay, if they wanted to have a protest about Palestine and trans rights and all that, why not just pick another day to do it? You know, I mean, just standing at the side of the road, on the other side of the road, while they were walking past just shouting Nazi scum to everybody, that doesn't really achieve anything apart from how to store up shit or something like that. I don't know what that was about. Anyway, have your own protest on another day if you want. I don't think anybody would mind if you want to have your trans rights protest or your Palestine protest or whatever it happens to be. Anyway, I want to talk about this. Now, the number of insured drivers or uninsured cars on the roads has dropped recently due to the new detection technology that the Garda Síochána use. So no more fake discs. Remember the days of the fake discs? And also that scam that people used to do was, you know, they'd ring up an insurance company and say, oh yeah, I'll pay by the month. They get their disc in the post, they pay for the first month, then I'll pay again. They just leave the disc in the car. Those days are kind of gone. And the same goes for tax as well. You must tax your car now. There's no such thing really as your tax being out of date because you have to pay it at some point before you sell the car. So you can't let your tax really run out because you'll be stung for it when you go to sell the car. So all that kind of stuff is kind of going away. But still, there's quite a number of people driving with no insurance. I don't know about tax, but not quite a number of people driving with no insurance. And it is an irresponsible thing to do. Because if you're involved in an accident, the person that you crash into, they have to claim off the Bureau then, the Bureau for Uninsured Drivers. And that can take some time. It's not as straightforward as claiming off an insurance company. Now, and also, by the way, everybody else who pays insurance is paying a levy to cover the cost of the Federation of Uninsured Drivers or the Bureau of Uninsured Drivers. But there was a message that we got recently, and I wanted to read it out to you. It kind of tries to justify driving with no insurance. Hi, Niall team. First of all, I love the show. Listen every night. Recently, I found out my brother has been driving his car for the last 8 months without any insurance. The times have been really tough for him. His wife got laid off a while back, and he had to take up more shifts to try and keep food on the table for him and his family. I feel really bad for him. He worked so hard to provide for his family. He did have an accident about 2 years ago, so his insurance has been loaded, and it's quite high. He's paying over €2,000, or at least he was. I offered to help out and pay, you know, a few months of the insurance maybe for him, but he point blank refused. He said he didn't want handouts, and there was no way he'd take money off me. I tried to reason with him and say how extreme the penalties are if he gets caught, but he lives in an area with probably barely no public transport, so he needs to drive to get to work, collect his kids from school, etc., etc. He says it's a risk he needs to take. When I came home, I told my wife about it, and she was appalled. She said it's outrageous and point-blank selfish that he is driving uninsured, especially with his kids in the car. She wants me to report him before he actually gets caught and it's too late. Look, I know the likelihood of him getting caught is a lot higher now with all the new technologies that I read about in the paper today, but I don't think I can bring myself to do it. He needs his car. But I just don't know what to do. I'm really worried for him. And he could get into an accident. It would cost a heap of a lot more than the insurance alone to cover that. I trust you and your listeners' advice, so do you think I should report him? And do you think he's justified, as some people would suggest, driving with no insurance? Thanks, Derek. Look, it's a tricky situation. And I can understand how desperate he is. He's in a place where there's no public transport. His wife is not working. They've got kids. Does he mention many kids? Anyway, he's got kids. And he needs to put food on the table, pay his mortgage maybe, or his rent, or whatever it is he's paying. And he's working two shifts now to try and do that. And he needs the car. And he needs to collect the kids from school. Maybe they live far away from the nearest school or something like that. Sounds like he might be rural. So what does he do in those situations? It's a tough one, isn't it? And he hasn't got the money. And this idea, by the way, that when you have a little bit of a tip in a car, you know, that they load your insurance. That's bananas. I always disagreed with it. You pay insurance for a reason, to insure you against having an accident. That's the gamble and the risk the insurance company should take. And if you run into the back of somebody by accident, do a grand's worth of damage or whatever it is, and maybe there might be a third party claim for, you know, 4 or 5 grand for whiplash or something like that as well, because that's all you get for whiplash nowadays. That should be the insurance company's responsibility, because there is many drivers like me who haven't had an accident in years and they're making money off me to pay those other claims. So it's the risk I take as well by paying that insurance company that I'm not going to have an accident, and they're on a win-win. So the idea that when you do have a little bit of an accident that they load your insurance with this kind of scam of a no-claims bonus, oh, you lose your no-claims bonus, it's a bit of a scam, because I have house insurance. If the house is broken into, they don't load your house insurance. Well, as far as I know, they don't anyway, because it happened to me once. They don't load your house insurance because you're paying insurance. Isn't that the purpose of paying insurance? You know, that unless you're in a high-risk area, or unless there's a high likelihood you're going to do it again, or unless during that accident you were doing 100 miles an hour and you got a ticket for dangerous driving, then I'd understand. But not if it's just a tip or something like that. Anyway, back to the insurance, this guy. Is there any justification at all for him driving without insurance? You understand the point the brother's making? And should the brother report him? People often say you should report a relative if they're drink driving. I don't know about no insurance. Ray, hi, how are you?
Not too bad in Ireland, yourself?
Good. Ray, would you report somebody for driving with no insurance?
I probably would. I know you're going to probably get a lot of backlash over this, people calling me a rat and a grass and everything. But that chap who's driving without the insurance, he's putting himself at risk, he's putting his kids at risk, and he's putting other people's lives at risk.
Yep.
And, going back to the paying for the first month or 2 months on the insurance and then cancelling it and keeping the disconcert. The minute that car is uninsured, the insurance company should report him to the Gardaí.
In what sense? If you let your insurance expire, well, then the insurance company don't have any right to contact the guards. He might just have no car anymore. That wouldn't be feasible for the insurance company to contact the Garda Síochána every time somebody lets their insurance expire.
Well, it comes up on the new system.
Yeah.
So I mean, like,
well, it's easier to get caught. There's no doubt about that. It's much easier to get caught nowadays.
Absolutely. For driving with the no insurance.
Can I correct you on one thing you said? Sorry, Ray, and I hate to kind of challenge you constantly, but he's not putting people's lives at risk. That's a bit of a dichotomy, because the chances of him ever having an accident are exactly the same as if he had insurance. What he is doing is risking people's finances. So in other words, if he does crash into somebody and damage their car or maims them and leaves them in a wheelchair, they need compensation. They have less chance of getting what they deserve from the Federation of Uninsured Drivers than they would from an actual insurer. So that's the risk. That's the damage he does. Do you understand? He's not on any more risk at having an accident just because he has no piece of paper in the window.
Yeah, but if he didn't have the piece of paper in the window, and if he wasn't driving, then what are the chances of him having an accident?
Yeah, look, many years ago, and I said this before, I drove for 3 months with no insurance. And I'll tell you how it happened. I'll tell you how it happened. It was many, many years ago. I was insured with an insurance company for the house, and I was insured with the same company for the car. And at the time, they used to do an automatic rollover. When your insurance was up, it would automatically just start again. You know what I mean? And they changed their policy, which I didn't know. And I was looking at my bank account and I seen, you know, Johnny's insurance company coming out of my bank statement. So I just assumed everything was grand. But I never got my disc and it just never dawned on me. Never thought of it. And then one day my son just happened to say to me, he says, Dad, your insurance is up. And I looked and it was 3 months out of date and I rang the insurance company. I said, you never sent me out a new disc. And they said, that's because you're not insured. I said, what do you mean I'm not insured? And they said, well, we don't roll over the insurance anymore. And I said, for God's sake. And he said, look, I'll do it for you right now. So they set up the insurance there and then started to send me out a new disc. Now, that wasn't my fault. It was just an
honest
error.
Mistake.
An honest mistake. Yeah, but I was so lucky. I could have had an accident in that 3 month period. Or I could have been caught driving with no insurance. And unknown to me, I had no insurance. You know?
True. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Point taken.
Now, this guy's obviously not doing that. He's doing it intentionally. There's a difference.
He's knowingly doing it.
Hmm.
I don't know, between uninsured drivers, drinking drug drivers. All right. If he gets caught with no insurance, take the car off him.
Yeah, they will. And they'll impound your car if you're caught. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So even with no tax, if your tax is out of date now for more than 3 months, I think they'll take the car as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't get it back until you've proven that you've paid the back tax and the, pay everything up to date. Maybe that would be one way of helping to solve.
Well, generally speaking, if you don't have insurance, you most likely don't have tax, because you have to have insurance to have tax, don't you? Because you know when you pay your tax online, they'll ask you what your insurance company is and your policy number.
Yeah, but you can get around that. You can do 3 months, and then do 12 months.
Oh, okay.
On the tax.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Yeah, you could.
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah. There was a scam they used to do years ago where they'd contact an insurance company, set up their insurance and say, I'll pay over 12 months. And they go, yeah, that's 56 quid a month or whatever. And then when the first month was up, they'd just cancel the payment and they'd have the disc, stick the disc in the window and it'll do them for 12 months. That was a scam people used to do. But that doesn't work now because the guards are on the ball and they have this new technology.
Yeah, the ANPR. Yeah. But, yeah, that's sure. If the laws were more strict, like in other countries, take the car off you, leave you on the side of the road, or bring you to the nearest service station, and shank smear at home, or taxi home, or ring a friend, whatever way to get home, and make it painful for you in the pocket, so that it might be a deterrent in itself.
Yeah, but the fine at the moment is 500 quid and or 6 months in jail. Generally speaking, people don't go to jail unless you've been involved in an accident where somebody's hurt. If you're just caught with no insurance, they'll take the car off you and fine you 500 quid. And you get, I think, 6 penalty points as well. So that's the kind of what happens at the moment.
All right, maybe give you 10 penalty points so that you will, that if you are caught again, you automatically lose the car. And, Jesus, make it a hefty fine.
So, okay, so the point is, if this was your brother or brother-in-law, you would report him?
Yeah.
Okay, so just stay there for a second. Let me just go to Debbie as well. Debbie, hi, how are you?
Hi, Nat.
There you go. Ray said he'd report them.
I don't know. I live and let live, so I wouldn't really report them. But I do, like, there is consequences when you do get caught, and they are hard now. You'll get a ban, and obviously
I don't think you get a ban, but you get a 500 quid fine and you get 6 penalty points. So if you've already got a few points, you're probably banned, yeah?
Yeah, no, I'm saying a ban because a friend of mine, a story I hear, he goes, you know, he's driving without insurance, he had new kids and so on, I'm woke, the whole lot. But he got caught and then he had to go to court. He didn't go to court. So as I know now, like, the ripple effect of that consequences is that he had to leave the country because he's the guy that I look for him, like.
All over his insurance. He had to leave the country just because he had no insurance in his car?
No. The ripple effect of consequences.
Because he didn't turn up in court.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't turn up in court, they will normally just put a bench warrant out for you to arrest you.
Yeah, that's why he said, you know.
But that's still not going to imply that you go to jail. It's just a bench warrant they put out for you not turning up in court. That doesn't, it doesn't mean you have to leave the country. Jeez, that's a bit of an overreaction, isn't it? Anyway, Debbie, you wouldn't tell on somebody?
No.
Why?
I wouldn't. No, I, because
Your line is really bad, Debbie. I think you're, I don't know, you're somewhere where there's no good signal.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, go on. Go on. You wouldn't what? You wouldn't tell because why?
I just live in that live, and I think life is hard enough, especially if you've got kids, and, you know, so I just wouldn't.
Hmm. Yeah. Why? Because he has kids?
Yeah, well, I've got two girls, yeah.
But is it, I mean, Ray makes a good point. Is it not a bit irresponsible to be driving a car with no insurance with the kids in it?
Oh, it is, and I've never done it myself, and I wouldn't.
No.
But still, I don't think I'd report someone. I wouldn't have it in me.
Right. Okay.
You know, yeah.
Mm. Okay. Stay there for a second. Let me just go to David. David, hi. How are you doing?
Niall, hi. Lovely to talk to you. Mm. I've been listening to what's been going on. I probably actually pushed back against some of the stuff you've said as well, but my background, after I was in the forces, I worked at Lloyd's of London. And in the early 80s, Lloyd's of London had a problem in the early 80s, about 82, 83, with a company called PMPA.
Well, I remember PMPA, yeah. My dad was insured at PMPA.
Mm. Yeah. The short and the long of it was that my boss was a deputy chairman of Lloyd's, and Lloyd's had a problem with PMPA. So they asked, the committee asked Dick Hazel, my boss, to take on and sort out the Lloyd's involvement with PMPA.
At the time in Ireland, actually, most insurance companies going back to the 1970s and 80s were British insurance companies, like Cornhill, and there was a few other ones. They were all, and Norwich Union.
Yep.
Another one. They were all kind of
Eagle
British.
Star, you know, name it, yeah. Absolutely. Right. When I was sorting out that problem, when they're sort of sitting there crunching through all these numbers, it occurred to me that the way motor insurance was dealt with was rubbish to start with. And that if you want it, because you've got this huge uninsured motorist liability, what do all motorists require? When they're driving their cars, petrol.
Yeah.
So.
I said that years ago. Yeah, put it on the price of petrol. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. What you have is all the third party liability is covered under the price of a litre of petrol or diesel.
Yeah, including your car tax, including your insurance.
The whole nine yards. Yeah, absolutely. Because you know, in time, it would work out, and the people who drive a little pay their insurance, the people who drive uninsured pay their insurance. And what I would do would be to get the claims departments of the various insurers to manage.
But here's the problem. Here's the problem for insurance companies doing that, okay? So if the state was to collect the money through petrol and then pay the insurance companies, what happens then to no claims bonuses? How does that all work out? It doesn't.
No, that all disappears. All that goes away.
And I agree with that. I think no claims bonus is a scam.
Yeah.
I understand if somebody is in a crash and they were doing 120 miles an hour and they were charged with dangerous driving, then absolutely they're a liability. Load them if you want. But most accidents don't happen like that. They're just accidents.
But the first party insurance, the insurance of your own vehicle, that's down to you. If you're involved in an accident, it's a single car accident, it's your fucking loss. Sorry, excuse my French. Mm. It's only your first. But if you're involved in an accident and you damage other people, so if you want to insure your car against theft, against fire, against damage that you might do,
third party
do that.
Yeah,
you go out the first. First party liability.
And there should be no loading of that insurance if you make a claim.
There's no, it can be if you go and write off a Porsche every year. You know, sort of.
but if you write off the Porsche accidentally, I'm assuming you pay a higher insurance on your Porsche, but if you write it off accidentally, well, then the insurance company, that's the gamble. Isn't that what insurance is all about? Insurance is gambling, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's not a gamble. The difference between a gambling slip and insurance is insurable interest.
Mm. Well, I know they've underwriters. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, let me get back to this guy. So he lives somewhere where there's no public transport. His insurance has been loaded because of a small tip he had, according to his brother, a couple of years ago. So it's over $2,000. Yeah. He can't afford it. And he's driving the car now. He's had to take on extra shifts because his wife lost her job. So he's driving the car with no insurance because he feels he has to feed his family. Do you sympathize or empathize with the situation?
No, I don't. I think he's in a situation that's crafted for no fault of his own. I'm an arrogant fucker. I'm absolutely convinced that you and I are right, that the whole the insurance should be dealt with on the price of diesel or petrol.
Mm.
And that should have happened.
And that wouldn't happen then, yeah. That wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. And so his situation, it wouldn't have occurred. You know, so it's crass. This nonsense when you have a crash and the insurance can offer you the glasses guide for your value for your vehicle. That doesn't reflect your actual
loss.
Vehicle. I think that what should happen again if it was done on a statewide basis, vehicles, good quality second-hand vehicles, could be kept and then offered to individuals who have their vehicles written off.
Well, no, the value, I believe, always the value. I know they use a thing called the green book value, but the value of a car should be what it's selling for on average on, say, Auto Trader or Dundee or whatever.
You and I both know that you could go out and buy the brand new tyres for your vehicle on the day that you have your write-off crash, and you will never see the value, the sort of 400, 500, 700 quid or whatever reflected in the 2,500 that you get back for your vehicle. You'll get back 2,500.
Oh, no, but as I said to you, you should get back enough money to replace that vehicle. That's all you should get. By the way, that's a warning for people. You know when your insurance company asks you when you ring up for a quote and they say, what's the value of the vehicle? And you think you're being a smart arse. You know, you have a 15 grand Mercedes and you say 20 grand. There's no point in you saying 20 grand. You'll only be charged extra on the insurance quote and you're not going to get 20 grand off them if you write the car off. You're only getting 15.
You're actually right. You can get agreed insurance. You can go. If you've got a vehicle such as a Lola T70 Mark III B, you can go to the insurers and you get an agreed value for that vehicle.
Okay, rare occasions. Okay, so back to the question I had before I take the break and go to Paolo. Would you snitch on this guy?
I don't believe I wouldn't. I wouldn't have the information to be able to snitch on him.
No, I don't mean now, this particular guy. But if he was your brother or friend, would you report him?
I would implore him, and I would hope I would have the pull with him to.
That's what the brother tried to do, according to the email. He did implore with him, and he even offered to pay the insurance for a couple of months for him.
Well, personally, I would have taken him out of the equation. I'd have done exactly what I did with my little brother, which is just ring up the insurance company and insure his vehicle for him, and he's the named driver.
But you can afford to do that, David. This guy clearly can't. Ray, would you pay for your brother's insurance if he couldn't?
The brother's saying he'll stomp up the cash.
No, he said he'd stomp it up for a couple of months. He didn't say he'd stomp up the whole lot.
All right. Yeah.
Sorry, Ray, would you pay for your brother's insurance if you'd no insurance?
I have.
What I'd offer to pay something towards it to help him.
Yeah.
But like that, no, if he was that stubborn to say no, he wants to do it on his own, what can you do?
See, some people have a lot of pride, and a lot of parts of it this as well, you know, when people offer you money, you know, you have a lot of pride and you go, no, I don't want your bloody money. Anyway, the number is 087-188-0008. David kind of saying it's wrong and everything else, but not really. He's sitting on the fence there a little bit, I think. Ray saying he would report somebody if it was his brother or a friend or somebody he knew was driving without insurance, because they risk financially destroying somebody else if there's an accident. And also, there's kids in the car as well. Let me know what you think. Would you report your brother? Now, remember in the email, of course, the reason he says the brother's driving with no insurance is his wife lost his job. There's no public transport. His insurance is loaded to over $2,000 because of a tip he had a couple two years ago. And he just can't afford the insurance. But he really needs the car to get to work. He's doing double shifts to try and put food on the table. Do you sympathise with him? Or do you just think he's an arsehole? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188. About 30% of people have said they would report the brother. Paolo, how are you?
I'm good.
Paolo, would you report somebody? I don't know, in this situation, obviously. Would you report them for having no insurance?
Of course.
Mm. And you wouldn't empathize. You wouldn't empathize with their situation.
Yeah, maybe I will empathize with the situation. But the worst part of it is like, imagine that that someone has an accident and maybe kills someone. Like, he's guilty, and I feel I'm guilty as well because
you knew about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I will do it for sure. Like first I will say, don't do it. You are taking chances. You are taking risks. You can have serious problem. But if he wanted to continue with that situation, of course.
I mean, I do understand why some people, not everybody who drives without insurance, but I do understand why some people do it. Financially, they can't afford it. They need to get to work. There's no public transport in their area. They just haven't got the money to pay it because it can be expensive, particularly if you've had a bit of an accident already. And maybe there needs to be more regulation around the cost of car insurance, because it is some of it's outrageous, depending on your circumstances.
Yeah, the price of the insurance should be lower. All the things that the insurance is mandatory should be allowed with insurance of the car.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that I have I had a small accident with my car, and I had an insurance with a I will not say the company's name, but they made my life a living hell, and they in the end, until the moment that they forced me to sell the car because the car is had some problem, and I was forced to sell the car.
Mm.
So the funniest part of the situation is that I hit another car, and the fixing of the other car was just a small bump on the back bumper. It was like 100 euros, and they paid 3,000 and something euros.
Wow.
For repairing the other car.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all with insurance companies. And this idea that they don't question us.
They made my life a living hell, and now I cannot do insurance in my name because they canceled my policies. And during 3 years, I cannot make insurance in my name. And just for a small accident, nothing special, nobody was hurt. It was just a small thing.
Yeah.
But
that's what I said at the start of the show. The idea that you pay 600 or 700 quid for your insurance, and then you have a small accident like you had, where the claim was, okay, it shouldn't have been 2 or 3 grand. It should have been only a couple of hundred quid, but it was 2 or 3 grand. That you then lose your no-claims bonus, and they load your insurance up to 2 or 3,000 euro. That's crazy.
They made my life a living hell. They send me letters saying, if the car is driving, we'll call the police. Your car is blocked, and you cannot drive the car. You have to solve it. And then another situation. They told me,
why did they not want you driving the car that you were driving? What was wrong with the car?
My hood, it was a bit open. Nothing special. The car drove. The car was drivable safely with no problems. I went to the guard. That they made the test. No problems, but they said the car is damaged. You have to fix it, otherwise you cannot drive the car.
So when you say the hood, so the bonnet was slightly open.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a risk for yourself, Paolo, as well. By the
no,
way.
No. It was just on the side, not opened. Like I drove the car for 1 month after the accident, and nothing happened. And I know that the car was safe.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. And if you could prove that by having an assessor look at it and say the car, or give you a certificate to say the car was safe, well and good. But if you can't, obviously, they would consider that a safety risk. I remember many years ago, I was driving a car. It was a Mercedes, actually, going back about 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And I was driving it up the Belgrade Road. I'd left it in for a service. I picked it up, was driving it up the Belgrade Road. And next minute, the bonnet flew open up onto the roof of the car. destroyed the roof of the car, destroyed the bonnet, all because the mechanic hadn't closed it properly.
Yeah. I know that. I had that situation two times already in Portugal, and it's awful. But this case, I certified that the car was good. I took the car to a garage, and they said the car is drivable. The Garda said the car is drivable, but even though they said, no, you cannot drive the car, and they forced me, and they canceled my policies. So now I cannot make insurance. And you can't
go to another insurance company for 3 years. That's always a problem, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Stay there. So Paolo said he would. Ray said he would. Let me go to Alan as well. Alan, hi.
Hey, Niall.
A lot of people saying they would tell on this guy, even though they empathise with his situation. They would tell.
I couldn't bring myself to do that. That is the lower end of snitching. And in the immediate problem for that guy driving the car, there has to be a common sense approach. Why is he walking and he can't afford to drive? You know, that means he's in a dead-end job and he can't afford to...
He's doing two shifts. His wife lost her job.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Doing two shifts. Yeah,
so how much would he be roughly bringing home?
I don't know.
So there's a certain core point that you have sympathy for someone who says he doesn't even want to help off his sister or his brother to help him with the insurance. So he's putting jeopardy of some other driver at the mercy of the no tax or no insurance policy that he has of his car. Oh, no, I don't want to take, people giving me money for me insurance.
My pride won't let me, yeah.
No, well, he is a scumbag and a fool. That he would actually go to the extent where he would actually put himself in jeopardy, and he could easily sort out the insurance. He just is just making excuses because he wants to not pay. He wants to live an insurance-free policy on the road. And the insurance companies aren't helping either when it comes to their stringent measures, when it comes to jacking up the insurance if you have a slight accident. That's cruel, and it's a scam as well. The insurance scams that are going on in this country are unbelievable.
Well, but there's not as many scams. When you say, what are you talking about? You mean the general public scamming the insurance company or vice versa?
No, the insurance company using measures to get in more money for dubious reasons.
Yeah, no, I know. In other words, where you live puts a huge loading on your insurance, even though you might live in a nice area. But if it's a certain part of, say, Dublin or Cork or Limerick or Galway, whatever.
Are you saying if you're living in, say, Ballyferma,
your insurance will be higher? Yeah.
Will it?
Yeah, of course it would.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, so the higher the crime, and they have underwriters of all these statistics, and the higher the crime rate or the amount of cars being stolen in an area will increase your insurance.
Oh, right. I understand that now. I just thought you were being just picky.
No, not at all. So different parts of the country, different cities. Dublin is obviously a lot more expensive than, say, Athlone.
The root of this problem with that guy, he needs to go home and do maths and add up what he can afford to pay a week to pay off his insurance, because he's putting other drivers at risk when it comes to no claims and no tax, no insurance on his car.
Hang on for a second, because I know Ray agrees with you, but let me just go to Steve. Steve, hi, how are you doing?
So, okay, right. It's a bit over the top to call the man scum, would you not say, Alan?
Well, no, he's putting the risk. He wouldn't even take a handout.
Financial
off his
risk.
Brother.
He's only taking a financial risk. Yes, he's putting other people in financial jeopardy. Yes, of course, it would take longer to go through the courts and so on and so forth. But to call him scum is a bit over the top. Now, we have to take into consideration that we are in the middle of a crisis where nobody's getting the money that they should be getting, that are in low-paid jobs. This guy is working two jobs. His wife lost her job. I mean, you have to have some level of sympathy for this guy. The cost of living crisis is just out of control.
No, I don't have any sympathy for him, because if you can't afford to to drive a car with a tax.
I mean, Alan, just to give you an example, sorry for putting in there, Steve. I went to renew my insurance there about 3 years ago, 2 years ago. And I was told because it was 60 quid dearer, I said, why is it 60 quid dearer than last year? It's the same bloody car. I haven't had any. And you know what they said to me, Alan? The war in Ukraine.
Oh, bullshit.
Of course it's bullshit.
Okay, so just let me try and, you know, pluck at the cords of his sympathetic heart there, Alan's heart. Alan, you're claiming that this guy is a scumbag. Look, we walk a mile in somebody's shoes. Now, I will admit this, drive without tax and insurance and NCT.
For
a long, long time, but that was out of nothing but greed and just didn't want to bother my arse paying.
Yeah, well, that's why I would say it's greed. That man has two jobs. And he needs to ask the amount of money that he's going to make.
Hang on, Alan. I want to hear Steve's story. So, Steve, many years ago you admitted this, right? You drove without tax insurance. Now, you don't do that anymore, obviously.
No, well, I drove without tax insurance out of greed. I was like, I'm not paying them assholes any money, so I just didn't pay them money. Now, what it sounds like in this, according to the brother, that this guy is in financial strife. So what is his options? Let's say there's no bus services around. Let's say the brother does decide to rat on him. Well, what's going to happen? He's going to find himself in even more financial strife. His car will be taken off him. He will be banned from driving. He could lose his job. Or he could end up in prison. You don't know. There's many things that could happen to this chap just for the crime of driving from A to B without any insurance.
But it is illegal. Now, it's a legal requirement.
Yes, it is a legal requirement. But I just want people to get this in their heads. When we talk about licenses, when we talk about tax, and when we talk about insurance, it's just paperwork.
Well, I know it doesn't make you a better driver. I'm well aware
of that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You have the correct paperwork to drive.
Okay, but let me just throw that to Ray. Ray, just before I go into the break, Steve makes a good point. You know, driving with no tax and no insurance, of course, we must condemn it because it's a legal requirement, but it doesn't reduce your chances of having an accident.
Well, it mightn't be him that has the accident. It could be somebody else hit him.
But that's still down to chance. It doesn't increase the chance of you having an accident if you have no insurance or no tax. You have exactly the same chance of having an accident.
True.
Hmm? And my point is that this man will be penalised for not having the correct paperwork. Because that's all it is. This is correct paper. I have the paperwork to drive on this road. And if you don't, then you can end up in so much trouble. Trust me, I found out to my own detriment.
But there's a reason, Steve, we have to have that paperwork. And we have to pay out that kind of money. And that's to protect other people against us. To protect them financially, that if we hit them or they end up in a wheelchair or we kill them or destroy their car, that somebody's going to pay for their loss.
Okay, let me ask you this question, right? Let me ask all the guys this question. Let's say I don't have a license right now, no tax, no insurance, but there's a car in the garden. And I get into that car, and I drive up to the shop. I buy a packet of cigarettes, and I drive home. Where's the victim?
There's no victim. You're absolutely right. Uh-huh. There's no victim because you haven't had an accident. But if you run over somebody or you have an accident, then there's a victim.
So you're going to be penalised on the fact that there may be a victim.
Well, that's what insurance is for.
You know, I can't believe Steve can be so stupid and intelligent at times. He's highly intelligent. But you're talking through your hole, Steve. Look at Steve. You can't use the excuse, well, what's it? It's a victimless crime if I go to the shop and buy a pack of cigarettes and it's not insured. What happens if you're going up the road in your uninsured car and a child runs out and you crash into a child and leave a car alone?
Then
your uninsured car is not able to pay the benefits that the person
That's why it goes through the insurance board. So that's why they will still get paid. Nobody's going to get refused medical care in this country. Nobody's going to get refused.
Steve, now you're talking to your... Come on, Steve. I think you're only ringing up. You're contrarian. You like to be on the opposite side of an angle.
Noel, how many years have I had this opinion?
He's always held the same opinion, Alan, to be fair.
Well, you know something, Steve? It's a wrong opinion. It's wrong, wrong, wrong.
Alan.
You are talking to your hole.
I think, to be fair, to both of you, right, and I'm going to go to a break now and you can both have a little think about it. If the insurance cost and the way insurance operated on cars was a fairer system, I think less people would risk driving with no insurance.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, Steve, why did you still drive a car without insurance now?
No, he doesn't.
No, why? No. Why?
Why? Because I was sick and tired of getting banned and sent to the joy. That's why.
Right. So you got fed up in the joy. So you learned a lesson.
Yeah. I think it was a long time ago, in fairness, Alan.
So the very nature of the argument is Steve, the bull boy for years, changed his mind because he kept getting locked up. That's what you need to do with uninsured drivers. Lock them up.
But he also has a good job now, by his own admission, where he gets a reasonable amount of money so he can afford the insurance. Anyway, stay there for a second, Alan and Steve. I want to go to Joe and Cork in a second. The number is 087-188-0008. Steve believes it's a victimless crime, unless, of course, you have an accident. And he's, according to his theory, you've just as much chance of having an accident with no insurance as you have with insurance. So he says it's only a piece of paper. But there's more to it than that, isn't there, really? The reason we have to have that piece of paper is to cover the cost of other people who we damage. Let me know what you think, by the way. Do you have any sympathy for the guy who lives in an area where there's no public transport? He's working two jobs to feed his family. He hasn't got the money for his insurance because they loaded it. And he just feels his only option is to risk driving without insurance. Do you feel sorry for him? Text and keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. Now let me go to Joe. Joe, hi. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm very good, Niall. Good evening. How are you?
Good. Joe, do you have sympathy for somebody who drives with no insurance because they literally can't afford it?
Well, there's two parts to the story, I will say. If somebody is genuine that are in a situation where, look, if people, say, have financial issues and, look, if they are doing it to look after their family and something like that, and so, say, if they came up with a plan, if they could arrange a plan to pay for the insurance, I probably would respect them in that way. But if somebody deliberately is going around with no insurance, and I'm not just saying anybody, I'm just saying anyone, sorry. It doesn't matter whether you're Irish, English, Scottish, Welsh, if you're non-national or anything. I just use that as an expression. If somebody is doing it and they're a danger to other people, then I probably would come down hard on them. But I do understand where Steve is coming from, and I do understand that there are people out there who have financial problems, you know, because of high rates and high rent and all that, and the cost of living is another thing as well.
I think the point Steve is making is driving with no insurance on its own doesn't make you a danger to anybody.
Well, not only that, Niall, what I would like to reiterate is, and this is very, very important, for a crime to have been committed, there must be a victim. Where is the victim in these crimes unless you have an accident?
But that's part of it, isn't it? Because there is always a chance that...
I'm not going to get arrested on the chance I may murder somebody. Hold on a second, Alan. I don't get arrested on the chance that maybe I'll murder somebody. So it's a ridiculous notion that we can be taken off the roads. We should have the right to travel this country.
If you've no car and you're just walking down the road, a guard can't come up and demand to see your insurance.
Of course.
You're in a car, according to the law, you're in a mechanically propelled vehicle, or as the guards would say, vehicle. You're in a mechanically propelled vehicle, and you must have insurance.
Well, let me ask Alan a question. Alan, here's a question for you. You don't have kids, no? You don't have kids.
No, I don't have kids.
Okay,
no.
Okay. Let's say you did. Let's say you had three kids, and you're walking your arse off, cost of living builds up the wall. You're just stressed out of your head. You can't even afford to feed your kids. Would you steal to feed your kids?
Well, you see, we're living in a world where in the 21st century, stealing for your kids is not an issue anymore. We have enough to live on.
No, I'm asking, would you? It's a hypothetical.
It's not a good analogy.
Alan, answer the question.
It's all good analogy. It's all good analogy.
I want to see where he's going with this, Alan. Just humour him, will you, for God's sake?
If I couldn't afford to feed my kids, would I steal?
Would you steal food?
To feed your kids, yes.
No, I wouldn't.
Well, I would. Steve.
No, I wouldn't.
You'd let me starve. Okay, right, fair enough.
Well, I mean, if I couldn't afford to feed my kids and that was the way I was, I would steal to feed my family.
Okay, so you'd be willing to break one law to provide for your family.
Now, I wouldn't hurt anybody in the process. I'd just steal bread and milk.
Hold on. You'd be willing to break one law to provide for your family, and that's what this man is doing.
Hardly the crime of the century, stealing a loaf of bread and a carton of milk.
Hold on. He is willing to break a law to provide for his family. That's what this man is doing.
Now, listen, Steve, right?
Yes.
If the man can't afford a car, he could have easily got other forms of transport that they're using today to get up and down to walk.
His circumstances changed. Did you not hear that?
No. The situation is, he could have got one of those scooters, the electric ones, and he only wants...
Best of luck bringing his kids to school on that.
No, I'm sorry. You don't need a car for your kids. That's just a modern-day nonsense.
What if your kids are in school 20 miles away? Nobody knows where...
That's kind of unlikely, isn't it?
Is it really? See, I think Steve has thrown out all these examples to justify criminal behaviour.
I mean, when we were kids, Steve, we didn't have cars to bring us to school. My dad, we had one car, and we were lucky, actually. There was only 10% of the road had a car, right? We had one car, and my dad brought that to work. We didn't get a lift to school. My ma would walk to school with us.
That's wonderful for you, you dub. Because you're a dub, and you live in Dublin, and where there's city, and where there's a transport, and where things are close
by. No, we walked to school, or I cycled.
Okay. Whether you walk to school, which is probably 2 or 3 miles, try living in a rural area where the school is 5 miles away.
Where the school is five miles away.
Alan, will you let me finish your sentence, please? So the school is 5 miles away, and it's back roads where kids cannot walk on these back roads to get to school. So there are reasons why people do what they're doing.
I think you're wrong, Steve, because in rural parts of the country, they do provide bus services for kids.
Some people don't have cars. Hold on, I'm going to call.
Did somebody just fart?
No, that was me going, no way.
Sorry, Joe.
That was me saying that to you guys.
I thought somebody just went,
why? I'm going to put my DJ head on here. No, you don't like being called a DJ, presenter. So 087-188-0008. Text in if anybody is in an area where their kids have to be brought to school by car because they couldn't possibly walk. So text in.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. I'm sure they will text it. Sorry, Joe, you've been listening to Steve. It's a victimless crime, he said. Unless it's an accident, of course.
Yeah, well, look, I understand where Steve is concerned. Steve does make a lot of good points there, what he's saying. There are cases of people, say people with disabilities now who probably have difficulty in moving around. You know, like they are genuine cases.
Yeah, true. I never thought of that.
They probably do need assistance. Now, it's not just them. It could be an older person as well, you know, if they're studying in college, because older people are studying as well. But in relation to what you said a while ago, would I steal, if I had kids, would I steal food? See, but I would. Yes, I would. I would, to be honest.
I don't think Alan's kind of being very truthful there. Alan, I don't think you're being truthful. If you had kids and you'd no money and they were hungry, it's not, by the way, Steve, it's not like car insurance. You don't need a car, generally speaking, right?
But you
do need food to survive. Sorry, Alan.
Niall, the concept that you're using for your children.
Yeah.
If you're on, you have a social welfare system that's one of the best in Europe.
No, I know. It's a hypothetical question, Alan.
But people in the darker days of poverty in this country.
Yeah, they stole.
They had no. Not everyone stole. It wasn't like a shoplifting spree that we have today.
Alan, it's a yes or no question. That's all it is.
Joe
answered the question. Steve answered. I answered the question. And I said, Alan, hypothetically, if my children were hungry and had no money, I would steal bread or milk or tea or sugar or whatever it is to feed my kids. Of course I would.
And then you could get locked up at Mount Joy and you lose.
You're not going to get locked up for stealing a loaf of bread.
I've seen a woman, I was in court one time and a woman got 6 months for robbing sausages.
I'm sure there was other, there's no way some woman got 6 months for robbing sausages.
No. But then, can I just...
No, that's just brought me back to remember Esther Ranson. That's life. Do you remember that? Sausages.
Oh, I do. Sausages. Back in the day.
The dog. The talking dog.
Sausages. Yes. So, Niall, can I just make a point there?
Yeah.
So, the reason why I brought this up, Alan, please take this sausages into your head. So, the reason why I'm saying it is, this man is willing to break one law for his kids. Where the two lads there, they'd be willing to break a law to provide for their kids. And that's what I think, I could be wrong, that this man is doing. He's willing to take a risk to provide for his family.
There's a bit of a difference in stealing a loaf of bread and risking driving without
insurance. Risk is risk. He's willing to break the law.
Steve, I wouldn't drive a car with no insurance.
Talking to his home.
Sure you wouldn't.
Yeah, he is. Sausage.
No,
I can't believe you said that. Someone got 6 months for stealing sausages.
Niall, I was there.
I'm assuming there was like 42 previous convictions or something.
No, I tell you what I want, Niall. The fact that she may have had 22 or one conviction before, the fact is the courts take a heavier attitude towards shoplifting than he may realise.
Yeah, I know, but they're not going to put you in jail for 6 months for robbing sausages.
I'm not lying. I saw her getting 6 months in the...
Was it a suspended sentence or custodial?
No, it was a custodial sentence and it was up for it, but in the paper.
But imagine being in Mountjoy. Wouldn't you be mortified in Mountjoy if all the inmates are coming out and going, all right, what are you in for? Robbing sausages. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, you'd want to be in there for something reasonably decent, wouldn't you?
Niall, I've seen loads of people in papers I've been reading, knowing the Herald and all, the court dates and all, and you see some Mickey Mouse charges, and they get 2 months for robbing chocolate and all. It's crazy.
Yeah, but if somebody gets 2 months for robbing chocolate, what happens is the guards pick them up, bring them to jail, they take their clothes off them, take all their belongings off them, leave them in a cell for half the day, give them all back to them and give them their taxi fare home. That's what happens.
Well, no, I think they're getting a lot
thicker
now. They're
Alan,
getting heavier
Alan,
on smaller coins.
Yeah, sorry, Steve.
Alan, I just done a bit of research there. There's no such thing as this sausage is bleeding story. You're a lawyer, you.
I'm telling you.
Easy.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.